Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. One particular verse I want to read to you, and I'm going to read it from three different translations this morning. First, reading it from the Geneva Bible, it says, For that preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. And the complete Jewish Bible, it reads, For the message about the execution stake is nonsense to those in process of being destroyed, but to us in the process of being saved, it is the power of God. And there's another version here, BBE, and I'm sorry, at the moment my mind escapes me as to which version that is. But it says, For the word of the cross seems foolish to those who are on their way to destruction, but to us who are on the way to salvation, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross. You know, one of the best loved, probably one of the best known Christian songs, and there are a couple that fall into this category, Amazing Grace being one of them. But another one, especially that you hear sung a lot at funerals, is The Old Rugged Cross. It was written in 1913 by George Benard. And the first verse goes, On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. The chorus goes on to read, So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I was thinking about and looking at the cross that we have over here on the side of the platform that Steve constructed for us for our Resurrection Sunday celebration. And we decided that we were going to leave it there for an indefinite period of time. As I wanted to remind us of what happened almost 2,000 years on that hillside, the event that took place, an event that was actually to bring to an end, at least in the minds of some, what was going on. Actually, a revolution that was beginning to take place. Now, some who wanted this execution to take place, they feared the revolution they thought was about to come because they thought it was going to cost them their jobs, cost them their positions, and other things that they had in mind. But the event that came about as a result of that changed the world in more ways than they ever thought it would change the world. Because at that point, the ultimate sacrifice for salvation was made on that cross. You know, in the days of the Roman Empire, the cross was something that was a place of shame and punishment. It's a place where the ultimate punishment was carried out. We think today in our society, so when someone is condemned to death, they're either sent to the gas chamber or they're sent to the electric chair, or more recently it's gone to giving them a lethal injection by which their life is taken from them as payment for the crime, the sin, so to speak, that they have committed. We find in some parts today of the world today that those who proclaim Jesus Christ and claim Him as their Lord and Savior are also experiencing some of these punishments simply because of their stand and statement, I am a Christian. I am a follower of what happened on that cross 2,000 years ago. I believe the one who was executed there, that was put to death for my sin. And because of his sacrifice, I now have eternal life. And yes, man can take the physical life from this body. This physical body can end up on the ash heap, so to speak, of the stage of life. But what dwells within this physical body, what dwells within this temple, is eternal. And if we have Jesus Christ in our heart, we go on to be with Him, not just for a small, short period of time, not just for a few thousand years, but the Bible tells us we will be with Him for eternity. And our minds, even though we think we know what eternity is, can't really grasp the fact that there is something that is not finite, but it's infinite. It goes on forever. And why do we have this? Because of the events that took place on that rugged cross. As the complete Jewish Bible version reads, it was an execution stake. It was not a pretty piece of jewelry. You see a lot of people that wear crosses. I'm wearing one today. And they wear it as a piece of jewelry. Some can be very fancy. Some can be kind of rustic. Some can be kind of very, in a sense, rugged. I saw somebody the other day on a television program that was wearing earrings that were crosses that must have been 3 inches long at least. Well, I've got news. Wearing a cross does not make you a Christian. It's a symbol of what happened. But that in itself, that piece of wood in itself, that piece of jewelry in itself, does not and will not ever make you a Christian. But it is the event that took place, the event that it represents, when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, that makes you a Christian. It is a symbol of an event that took place that changed the world. It changed history. It changed everything that came about. Various anti-God and anti-Christian groups across our nation and around the world have sought and are seeking to have this symbol of our faith removed and wiped out. You drive sometimes down the highway and you see crosses alongside the highway. Represents the fact that there was a fatality accident there. Someone lost their life. You go to a cemetery where we bury the bodies of our loved ones and you see crosses there. You go to a veteran's cemetery and at least you used to see crosses. I haven't been to one recently, but I know they're under attack. You would see those crosses there that represented those events that took place there. There are several places where there are huge crosses erected as a symbol, paying tribute to some of the events that took place. This weekend, we celebrate Memorial Day here in the United States, a day that originally was kind of set aside to remember those of our men and women who served and gave their lives to defend our freedom. Gave their lives to defend your right to sit here. They also gave their lives to defend the rights of those who come against us today and attack these very freedoms. They gave their lives. We also today celebrate Memorial Day as in honor of our other loved ones who've gone on before us. And we can think about many of our loved ones who've gone on to be with the Lord, family members that we've lost, church members that we've lost, many others that have gone on. We think about those. But all of these things are now under attack. Atheistic groups around the world want to have the crosses removed. There's a battle going on in New York City about a cross that was, in a sense, accidentally formed because it was made of the twisted girders of the building that was destroyed during the 9/11 attacks. People want to have it remain there as a memorial, but some groups, a very minority group, wants to have it removed because it offends them. It offends me that they want to have it removed. And it should offend every one of us that they want to have it removed. We as Christians need to take a stand and let people know that we are offended as well by some of the things that are going on in the world, the attacks against our beliefs. It's okay as long as we don't attack their beliefs, but they find everything we do offensive. They're seeking to have this symbol wiped out. Someday it might be that those crosses that you see lined up in rows in some of these veteran cemeteries will be removed as things go on as they are now. Pastors are being told that if they want their church to grow and prosper, they need to remove the cross. Don't offend people. That cross is offensive to some people. Don't preach about the cross because that's offensive to people. Don't preach about sin because that's offensive to people. Somebody told me one time years ago, he said, if I go to church, I don't want to hear just stories. He says, I want to be told if I'm a sinner, what I can do about it. And that's what we need to be telling people today, that there is sin in the world, that you're born into sin. It's not your fault you were born into sin, but you were born that way. And you are a sinner, and there is nothing that you can do about it on your own. But Jesus Christ gave his life on that old rugged cross so that we could come to him and say, Father, forgive me. I accept Jesus into my heart. I accept the sacrifice he made for me and have forgiveness of that sin. That's what we need to be telling the world. But unfortunately, many churches today are telling people how they can live long and prosper. In other words, how they can live a longer life by eating certain things and taking these certain supplements that they recommend and sell, or how that they can prosper by investing certain ways. And there is nothing wrong with going to an investment seminar and learning how to wisely invest your money. There is nothing wrong with them. But that is not the message of the church. That's the message of an investment counselor. We and the church need to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, risen from the dead on the third day, and the Savior of the world. That's what we need to preach. Let the investment counselors take care of the investments. Let the doctors take care of the supplements. Let the people that know their business and these other things take care of it. And let's take care of the message of Jesus Christ. Let the world know that that old rugged cross is more than just a piece of jewelry. It's more than just a song that we sing sometimes in church or sing at a funeral. The cross, we need to preach that cross. Maybe our church won't grow because we preach the message of the cross, but I don't want to stand before God and say, I preached prosperity and I preached wealth and I preached health and I preached all these things, but I never preached Jesus Christ as the Savior of mankind. I don't want to stand before God and say, I didn't preach Jesus because I wanted the church to grow. Jesus. That is the reason for the church. What happened on that cross is the reason for the church. I did some study last year and I preached a message on it. Had to do with Hitler and the Third Reich. Because I see a lot of similarities going on in the world today that what happened during the late 30s, early 40s, under that regime. I also know that when you do searches on the internet, sometimes the information you get is not accurate and true. People change it. There's a lot of things that I was taught in history that people try to change today and make you think it never happened. If you listen to some people in the world today, the Holocaust never happened. It was a fictional thing made up. I want to read to you a comment made by Joseph Goebbels. He was the Nazi prime minister of propaganda, and he noted, "The Führer is deeply religious." And I want to stop right there and make a comment. Religion will not get you to heaven. And that may shock some people. Religion has not and never will get anybody to heaven. Religion is a form of worship, and it can be a worship of anything. It's that relationship with Jesus Christ that gets you to heaven. The Führer is deeply religious, though completely anti-Christian. He views Christianity as a symptom of decay. Rightly so. It's a branch of the Jewish race. Both Judaism and Christianity have no point of contact to the animal element, and thus in the end, they will be destroyed. Those were the words of Joseph Goebbels, Nazi prime minister of propaganda, back in the 1930s, early 40s. Well, guess what? We're Christians and we're still here.
Amen.
They're gone. One of the things I was trying to research, because there was some things about Hitler wanted to have the crosses removed. And of course now, even though a year ago I could find that information, I can't find that information on there today. Now it's contradictory to that. No, he did not want the crosses removed. Hitler wanted anything that had to do with true Christianity removed because he wanted to establish his own church, his own religion, where you would worship him and you would worship the Third Reich. And the Bible tells us that that's going to take place again, and again maybe, who knows? But the Bible tells us one day there will come a time when it will take place one last time. Yes, Hitler wanted the crosses removed, but he also used what they call the Iron Cross, which was a symbol of the swastika. And it was a symbol that brought fear into the lives of many people around the free world. The old rugged cross they tried to tear down, but it still survives. The Bible tells us that the day is coming when a man that we call the Antichrist will be turned loose on the scene. And another known as the prophet, as the false prophet, will also appear. And not only one world government, but one world religion will be established. We see moves towards that again today. The events leading to its falling into place are taking place as I speak this morning in various parts of the world. Will it happen tomorrow? I don't know. What happened next week? I don't know. I don't know when it will actually come to pass. But I know the plans are being put into place. Things are being in the outlines. Steps that need to be taken are being set down to put these events into place, that day will come that there will be one world leader and one world religion. And you will worship that one world religion or you will forfeit your life. The book of Revelations gives us many references to this duo. You can read particularly about them in chapter 13, some of the things that will take place. And the cross will be replaced for some new symbol, which will be put in its place for a season. Yes, they'll tear down that cross. Then they'll tear down the symbol of it. And they'll put something new into place. They'll put that mark that we refer to as the mark of the beast into place. And if we take that thing in our lives, we will be eternally doomed. I don't plan to be here. I know some Christians plan to be here. And they tell you how they plan to telecast the actual second coming when Jesus sets foot on the Mount of Olives and split in two at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. Well, I'm not going to be here with them. I'm sorry. I'm going to be coming back with Jesus instead when that takes place. And I know we can debate some theology and some doctrine and pre-trib and mid-trib and post-trib and all that stuff, but I don't believe that God is going to put his children through some of the things that's going to come upon this earth, because it is meant for those who have been disobedient and turned their back on God. Revelations 19:20 says, "But the beast was taken, and with him that false prophet that wrought miracles before him, whereby he deceived them that received the beast's mark and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." You see, I said that they would do that for a season. The Bible tells us they only have a short period of time. Very limited number of days in which they will be allowed to do this. But their end is coming. And the day will come that we as Christians, those that have gone on before us, some that may follow us yet, we will stand before Jesus. We will stand before the throne of God, and we will give him praise and we will give him glory, and we will be brought into our place that he has prepared for us. So what is the preaching of the cross? 1 Corinthians 1:22 24 says, "Precisely because Jews ask for a sign and Greeks try to find wisdom, we go on proclaiming a Messiah executed on a stake as a criminal. To Jews this is an obstacle, and to Greeks it's nonsense. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, this same Messiah is God's power and God's wisdom." It doesn't matter, as it says here, Jew or Greek. You could substitute Gentile where it says Greek there. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the preaching of the cross means something to you. If you don't want to accept him and you want to turn your back on him, you will shun it and you will try to destroy it. What is the message of the cross? It simply goes back to probably one of the scriptures that everybody has heard of at some time or another, just about, at least everybody in the free world. Even a lot of people who are in countries that don't know anything about God hardly have probably heard in some time this verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Complete Jewish Bible says unique son. "That whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We generally stop there, but let's go ahead and read verse 17. "For God sent not his Son into the world that he should condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's what the cross is all about. That's what the preaching of the cross is all about. It's all about the fact that Jesus, he didn't come here just to be born as a baby so we could later on celebrate Christmas. That was not the purpose of it. That was only the beginning. That was only a thing that was necessary, that he be born in flesh, that he could give his life on that cross. The goal was the cross. The goal was 3 days resurrecting from the dead, that we would have eternal life. The Bible tells us a sacrifice for sin has been a requirement almost since day one. Go back into the Garden of Eden. And again, we could get into debates. How long were Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Well, if you go by some timelines, they got kicked out a couple of days after they got put in it. If you go by others, it could have been a long time, very long time. All I know is the Bible says that they sinned against God. He said, "Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of life. Don't eat of those two trees. They listened to what the enemy had to say. They partook of the tree. And the Bible says there that the first sacrifice was made when God took and clothed Adam and Eve with skins. An animal's life had to be sacrificed. I know that there's a teaching out there right now because of the way one translation is worded, because it says that they had bodies of light, and they're saying, oh no, they had transparent bodies, and what he did was he clothed them with skin. That's not what the Bible says. It was the skins of animals that God clothed them with. The Bible goes on then in Leviticus 4:25, after several other sacrifices are mentioned, here it says, then the priest shall take the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the burnt offering altar, and shall pour the rest of the blood at the foot of the burnt offering altar, and shall burn all the fat upon the altar as the fat of the peace offering. So the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. There was a requirement of sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin. And you go back through the pages of the Bible, it's always been there. But God said, I'm going to send my son, that he'll fulfill that sacrifice once and for all. His sacrifice was made. Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Matthew 26:28 goes on to say, for this is my blood, which ratifies the new covenant, my blood shed on the behalf of many, so that they may have their sins forgiven. The old rugged cross, the symbol of the sacrifice that was made for me and you and you and you and everybody that hears my voice. The sacrifice was made for you. The debt has been paid, but it's up to you to accept what happened on that cross. Father, today I pray, Lord, as this message goes out, if there are those that hear these words today that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that have never accepted the sacrifice that was made on that cross, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts and lives today, wherever they may be. Some may hear this message in another country where the preaching of the cross is not allowed, not at least openly. And Father, that you would speak to their heart. I know there are times that you speak to people's heart through various ways, Father, in places where they cannot even possibly, it seems like, hear the word. But you reach down and you touch their lives. And I pray, Father, that be the case today, let it happen. Father, that people would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's house, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.